Wednesdays with Walton on Scoops with DannyMac.com. And a chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Lots to get into. We're going to talk about Gary LaRocque winning the George Kissel Award a few days ago down here. Very prestigious award handed out to those that are the top folks in the minor leagues. Also, a closer look at Dylan Carlson. Had a big home run against the Mets the other day. Only a 20-year-old outfielder, former top pick of the St. Louis Cardinals. We're going to talk about Jordan Hicks, Jack Flaherty, Jake Woodford, Connor Jones, Austin Gomber, Daniel Ponce de Leon. Minor league games, they're going to kick off very shortly. And also, we're going to talk about what's happening overall in the minor leagues. If you're coming down to spring training, what happens on the backfields. This is brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds, family-owned and operated for 60 years. Top quality jewelry at affordable prices. Mike and Jimmy Lordo, they are there every day and welcome the opportunity to work with you. Located in the heart of Ladue. See their selection? Check it out online, lordosdiamonds.com, lordosdiamonds.com, or give them a call. And that's at 432-8008, 432-8008. Coming up, we visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
As St. Louis looks forward to celebrating Easter, remember that Schnucks has everything you need for your big Easter meal. Schnucks carries Frick's Hams, a fifth-generation family-owned company from Washington, Missouri. Their hams are the best, and most of their pork comes from Midwest farms in Missouri, Illinois, and Iowa. This Easter, think Schnucks for hams, great sides, desserts, candy, and everything that goes along with it. Don't forget about the Schnucks Rewards app. Get everything for Easter at Schnucks. Wednesdays with Walton, always one of the most popular segments on the website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and a very popular site with Cardinal fans, TheCardinalNation.com, and a chance to visit with Brian Walton. And Brian, as always, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. It's an exciting time for Cardinals baseball, isn't it?
It really is. And now just a couple of weeks away from the 28th, which will be the opener, the Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers. And then, all of a sudden, the minor league session and spring session is in full swing in terms of minor league games kicking into full gear. Let's just start with a general question. Your impressions of spring training camp under Mike Shildt so far, and Ollie Marmol and the minor leaguers here, and just a general assessment of how you think camp has gone so far.
Well, from all indications, it's been a very positive camp. I think from the minor league perspective, seeing the number of minor leaguers brought over every day and seeing some of them, you know, step into very prominent roles and do well is very encouraging. I mean, you look at an Evan Mendoza who looked to be blocked at third base by these, you know, three high-level prospect guys. He's played some first, stepped into his own. Scott Hurst, an outfielder who was the Cardinals' first pick, you know, in the third round a couple years ago, who has really been slowed by injuries, has taken advantage of Lane Thomas's injuries and stepped up and played well. And then, of course, Dylan Carlson's probably been the talk of camp, the 20-year-old outfielder who was taken in the first round a few years ago.
He's the guy I want to talk about. Dylan Carlson hit a home run against Edwin Diaz the other day, who had 57 saves for the Seattle Mariners and a long home run. Dylan Carlson, a switch hitter, did it against the Mets in Port St. Lucie in right center. I said this on the game on Fox Sports Midwest, and for those that are curious, we'll have the game Friday night at 5 o'clock on Fox Sports Midwest. But I said he was my pick of young players I've seen down here that's going to make a big jump. Saw him a little bit last year, seen him a lot this spring. And Brian, you're a guy that has seen a lot of him in his growth. He's 20 years old, switch hitter, corner outfielder. Tell me more about Dylan Carlson.
Well, Dylan Carlson, actually, interestingly enough, you say corner outfielder. In prior seasons, he only played a little bit of center field, like half a dozen games last year at Palm Beach. But that was because of other players on the team. Carlson can also play center as well. His ultimate home, you know, given his build and his profile, will probably be as a corner outfielder. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Cardinals continue to play him in center as they did prior to 2018, just to make sure that he's as versatile as possible. Because, as we've seen, even with a talented player like Carlson, when he breaks into the minor leagues, it will probably be in a reserve role, and he has to be able to play anywhere in the field.
Is he a guy that you see from either side of the plate doing damage, or has it been more power from one side, or one, you know, has he been better from one side or the other?
No, really, he's performed well as a switch hitter. I think the most encouraging thing for him is his plate discipline. He's really shown that you know, he can handle the at-bats at any count, and that's important. What everybody's wanting to see is that power emerge, which is why it's exciting to see him hit a home run. Now, last year, his power, you know, he's playing in the big ballpark there in Palm Beach, so that certainly held him down. The other challenge that Carlson has had is, in his entire career, he's always been one of the youngest players in his league. So, you know, he's playing against older, more advanced pitching. And so one of the things that you hope this year, even though he'll still be one of the youngest players in the Double-A Texas League, assuming that's where he ends up, you hope that this year with those smaller ballparks in the Texas League and more maturity, more strength, you know, more ability on his part, that Carlson is really going to have the breakout year. Because if you just look at his numbers in a vacuum, there's nothing about them that says future MVP or future MLB star. So I think this will be a huge year for Dylan Carlson, because if he performs at AA like he has in spring training, he's a guy that could somehow try to force his way into the St. Louis picture far before any of us thought he would.
Yeah, it's interesting. I asked John Mozeliak on our Monday visit about Dylan, and he said, well, any other year, you never know what could happen with this young man. He's only 20, but time will tell. I know you do great research on these kids. He was coached by his dad, and correct me if I'm wrong, out of a very good high school in California. What kind of research have you done on Dylan and his background?
Well, yeah, his dad, Jeff Carlson, is a nationally known prep coach, and, you know, he's been prepared all along. I mean, you see that he was trained as a switch hitter, ability to play all the outfield positions. You know, even though he was only a high schooler when he was drafted by the Cardinals, his baseball skills, his baseball IQ, his readiness, his maturity, his readiness to play the game was far beyond his years, and that's why the Cardinals, you know, took him in the first round, even though some folks thought, hey, you know, that might be a stretch. It's turned out that it looks like it's going to have been a pretty good pick for St. Louis.
What other players, and I know you've been watching all the games, but what other players have really impressed you in the minor league level in some of these major league games?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen Tommy Edman. We've talked a little bit about Tommy Edman. Again, another switch hitter, shortstop by trade, smart kid from Stanford, knows the game well, plays hard, but can also play second and third. I think Tommy Edman's shown himself very well in camp. His challenge, like Dylan Carlson, is he didn't have to be put on the 40-man roster yet. So you look at players like Ramon Urias and others who are on the roster, Edmundo Sosa, who's only got one option year left, who, even though they've been sent out of camp first, they still might get the first call. But if Tommy Edman, who's already had some AAA experience and performed well, if Tommy Edman performs well at Memphis this year, he's another guy we could see, you know, forcing himself into the infield picture if Munoz or someone else gets injured.
Yeah, I have really been impressed with Tommy. Something that I think is so important for the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's such a neat award that they give away, and we talk about it all the time during the games, is the George Kisel Award, which is for excellence in player development across the Cardinals organization. And it went to, this year, the director of player development, Gary LaRocque. Now, he follows Stubby Clapp, who won it last year, who's now the first base coach of the Cardinals and did a remarkable job as the manager of the Memphis Redbirds. And LaRocque is kind of, you know, overseeing everything that happens in the minor leagues and does just an amazing job, especially when you consider what happens down here in spring training, overseeing every aspect of the minor league system. Tell me your thoughts on Gary winning this award.
Well, first of all, the George Kisel Award, I think, is an award that I wish got more attention. I mean, this is an award that was created by the Cardinals in the mid-90s while George Kisel was still with us. And it was designed, it's a peer award. So the winners of the George Kisel Award for Excellence in Player Development are chosen by the managers, the pitching coaches, the hitting coaches, all the guys who work in the trenches across the system. And so, you know, in the last 20 years, the guys who've won the award, most of the major league staff, all the major league staff who came up through the system have won the award at different times, from Schill to Ollie Marmol to Stubby Clapp, Pop Warner. So, you know, those are the guys who typically win the award. So this year, for Gary LaRocque as the executive, the leader, this is the first time an executive has ever won that award in the 20-some years it's been in place. So that really says a lot about the respect that Jerry LaRocca is the hands-on leader of the Cardinals minor league system. In shorthand, you call him the farm director. You know, the role that he and his team plays. He's got a very small staff. Tony Ferreira, who's his top assistant, also does tremendous work. You know, you look behind the scenes on all the things that has to happen when player moves occur, and, you know, getting players from point A to point B. I mean, there's just all these logistical things. Forget about all the decisions that have to be made. It's just a tremendous amount of work, and it's done in such a smooth manner that we just expect everything's going to work well, and it does. And that results show on the field. You know, as much as they talk about player development being the number one job, and it is, you know, the Cardinals minor league teams over time have performed very well, including last year. As we saw, Memphis won a title. Peoria almost did. Five teams were in the playoffs. So, you know, it's really a well-running minor league system. And the other point I want to make, Dan, is that, you know, because the Cardinals consistently finish well in the National League, they don't get to draft in the first half of the first round ever. So they don't necessarily get the plum prospects. Randy Flores and his team do a great job of identifying them. But the Cardinals continue to turn out strong major league players when they don't draft before about number 19 typically. So, you know, that shows not only strength in scouting but also in player development.
Pretty amazing. Cardinals 492 and 402 overall record placed them in the minor league second behind Tampa Bay in total wins. As you pointed out in your article, among all minor league systems in 2018, and that's pretty amazing. And you have a great article up at thecardinalnation.com, and that is free to all readers, and I would advise all Cardinal fans to check that out. Really gets into how important that award is to the St. Louis Cardinals, the importance of George Kissel, and just what it means in the Cardinals player development. There's been so much talk about the labor situation in baseball, and you know, I really struggle with this, Brian. I mean, we're 3 years away from the labor agreement being up with the Players Association and Major League Baseball, and my job is to try to sell the game, right? That's what I do.
Yep.
And so during games, I think most people want to watch baseball. I don't think they want to hear about people that are making millions of dollars and billions of dollars and whatnot. They just want to sit down, grab a six pack, get in their lazy boy, watch their favorite team, watch their favorite player, take their mind off the reality of the world and maybe enjoy a game. Would you agree with that?
I do. But yet what we're going to continue to see over the next few years is increasing rhetoric in the public. As the players are unhappy about the current agreement, and they know that there's almost 3 years to go, but they're going to continue to drive home their talking points on the things that they want to see changed in the next labor agreement. And certainly we've seen a shift. Part of the reason that the free agent market is so slow is that teams have realized that they can get greater value from younger players.
And so
while the older players are getting paid less, the younger players want to get paid more. And that's common sense. But it's going to take time for those issues to be worked out. So along the way, we're going to see bumps in the road where Jack Flaherty and Jordan Hicks don't feel that they're being fairly compensated. But we saw it with Alex Bregman. We saw it with the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell. So there's lots of guys across the game who are in this boat and feel like, hey, I should be paid more for my skills. And the reality is, yeah, you probably should. But the agreement that's in place is the agreement that's in place. So put your efforts toward figuring out how to change that in the future. And I think it will. It's just there's going to be increasing levels of noise, I think, over the next few years until that new agreement gets hammered out.
And so my point is it's up to guys like you, the writers, those that really dig into this. And I understand it, too. I just don't want to talk about it all that much on the air with games. But in things like this, it's important. You know, you got to inform the fans. Fans are curious about it. You have written about it. And that's why I would tell people to go to your site and really take a look at it, because you dive into this with Jordan Hicks and Jack Flaherty, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, one group of fans are the reactionary ones who say, hey, you know, the Cardinals are short-sighted and they should pay them what they're worth. But the reality is they're not going to break ranks and do that before they have to. But then there are other fans who say, hey, these guys are ungrateful because they've only got a year in the major league. They should just keep their mouth shut. Well, you know, they have a right to speak out and say what they believe as well. But the reality, what I looked at in this case was not the current situation as much as what's going to happen next year and the year beyond, and how these two young players will probably get renewed again next year. But then the year after, they become arbitration eligible for the first time. So it'll be interesting to see if they get to that point, what happens. Will they go to a hearing? Will the Cardinals approach them with an offer for a long-term contract? And then if the free agency changes, one of the things that's been talked about is maybe the six-year limit for free agency gets backed up to 5 years or 4 years, you know, in the next labor agreement. And if that's the case, Flaherty and Hicks could become one of the first beneficiaries of those changed rules. So I kind of go through that whole picture of where the players at the Hicks-Flaherty class, you know, might turn out over time. It's quite fascinating as these changes in the game are being considered.
Right now, I would have to say that Daniel Ponce de Leon and, let's say, Austin Gomber would be the head of the rotation at Memphis, with the way that things have had, transpired down here in spring training for the Cardinals. Would you agree with that?
I do. I think that those two guys, and, you know, we've seen Gomber struggle a little bit this spring. Daniel just is a victim of the numbers of the guys ahead of him. And the fact that Dakota Hudson has pitched so well, we saw John Gant pitch in relief yesterday, pitched the ninth inning, so that's a tell regarding the role that they see him play. So you look at Ponce de Leon and Gomber in Memphis, and then you've got the young guys. You got Jake Woodford. You got Ryan Helsley, Genesis Cabrera. You know, they're all going to be in the mix as well, even if Hudson and Gant both open with St. Louis.
Continue my conversation with Brian Walton in just a moment. A reminder that this is presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. 11 area locations, you'll be able to score a hat trick of savings with great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. And that includes Bud Family beer specials, the $4 Jack Daniel cocktails, the $5.99 Blue Sampler appetizer, $4 Blue Note bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread cocktail for only $5. Get more information. Find a Hotshots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Hotshots has been a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues, and your home for all the games all the time since 1990. If you need a haircut, you're coming down to spring training, and you got a couple of boys that you want to get a haircut for like I do. My boys are coming down for spring break and spring training next week. Send them to Hair Saloon. That's where I go. Take both my boys there. Hair Saloon for Men, their home base in St. Louis, 1997, and they now have 16 locations. And here's the deal. You'll get a perfect haircut. They get the complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. They'll do that all for just $22. Hair Saloon makes it easy. Hair Saloon for Men. You know, Ryan Helsley, I think people heard me say, oh my goodness, this guy, because that was one of my guys going into spring training. And then it was funny. I got some emails and tweets and said, Dan, you were so high on this guy, and he was one of the first cuts. Well, he was one of the first cuts because the Cardinals are so deep in pitching, they ran out of innings. It wasn't a demotion. It was, hey, we like you so much. This isn't a demotion. We're trying to get you innings. So we were talking before we started this. He could be one of the first call-ups. The idea was, we love you, man. You're looking great. We just want to keep you on the same path and get you innings. We want to get you on the mound and not disrupt anything that you may be doing. And as you were telling me, it's very similar to what Trevor Rosenthal was doing in the fact that when he was in the minor leagues, he was a starter. And when he got to the big leagues, that's when he started relieving. And that very well could be the path that Ryan Helsley takes.
Yeah, even guys who are potentially targeted as future relievers like Helsley and Cabrera, the Cardinals want the predictability of them starting every fifth day as long as possible. But it's not just for the routine. It's for the opportunity that by pitching four, five, six innings, that gives them a much greater opportunity to work on what every single one of them need to work on, which is honing their off-speed pitches, right? We know Helsley and Cabrera have the heat. That's not a problem. The issue is their secondary pitches and them, you know, being consistent enough that they can be effective at the major league level, because as we've seen, major league hitters can hit the best fastballs if that's all a guy has to offer. So, you know, I'll be looking and hoping that Helsley and Cabrera are both in the Memphis rotation to continue to get work. And the other thing about Helsley, let's not forget, the guy's only thrown a handful of innings since last June. He had shoulder problems that basically took him out the entire second half of last year. So to expect him to come into camp, major league camp, and be sharp off the bat after having not competed for 9 months was probably a lot to expect. I myself, you know, didn't expect Helsley was going to necessarily come in and wow everybody, you know, given where he's been health-wise recently.
Boy, was he good, though, that first time out. Holy smokes.
Well, there's no doubt the talent's there. I don't think anybody's, you know, doubts about that. We've had him as a top 10 prospect in the system for a long time. I'm sure when the trade discussions came up with teams like Arizona this winter, he was a name that that came up, and the Cardinals probably took off the table immediately.
I think Jake Woodford, in my opinion, has had a good camp. Now, there have been times where, and I was talking with some personnel yesterday, that there's some things that he's got to do. Like, he lives up in the zone a little bit, and Helsley that does that too, where you got to change eye level, you got to get the ball down. But those are guys that are, Brian, I mean, right on the cusp of being, you know, major league guys. And that's where it's so exciting, I think, if you're a Cardinals fan, and to take it even a step further, in talking with scouts down here, or even writers that are national guys that cover many teams, and they go around, let's say, Florida or Arizona, and they're just wowed by the amount of pitching the Cardinals have. And I know that you talk to a lot of people and writers that travel around the minor leagues. It's not to be overstated, I don't think, because the Cardinals have a plethora of pitching. And I can't remember a time, and this is year 22 for me doing Cardinal baseball, I can't remember a time the Cardinals have had this much pitching. Maybe when they had it with the Martinez, Segrist, Rosenthal wave of guys and Maness and those kind of guys coming through. But, man, oh, man, they have got a lot of pitching coming through.
I think that's important, Dan, when folks criticize the Cardinals for not having gone out and signed a lot of free agent pitchers, whether it be a free agent starter, you know, hey, Dallas Keuchel's out there, let's go get him. Craig Kimbrell's out there, let's go sign him to a, you know, long-term contract to be the closer. The Cardinals have a lot of good young arms, and you know, there's always enough guys hurt. There's enough guys that are, you know, not available that there's the players to step in and fill the gaps. I mean, how many clubs, if Dakota Hudson's a fifth starter, how many clubs could, you know, could say that they've got a young pitcher with the potential of Dakota Hudson being their number five guy?
That's right.
So, you know, the Cardinals have a wealth of talent at the top of the minor league system in pitching. And we talked about the potential Memphis rotation it looks to be very, very good. Springfield, okay. Below that, I think they've got some issues. But the good news is all these players are so young, they're not going to hit free agency for some time. So the Cardinals, I hope to see in the 2019 draft and beyond, that they swing back and get a little bit more pitching talent to sort of restock the pipeline for the next wave of guys that will be needed in a few years.
Yeah, and it seemed like in the last couple of drafts, they went back the other way and looked for position players. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, they've definitely gone hard toward position players, not only in the draft, but the big year, you know, 2 years ago, remember when they spent all that money in the international market?
Right.
Most of that money went to hitters, not pitchers.
What have you thought of some of those position players? And we talked about, you know, the Edmund, and we also talked about Dylan Carlson, but have you seen anything out of Gorman and some of the others?
Well, you know, Gorman was challenged. He was put in the Appalachian League and dominated, which was tremendous for an 18-year-old. They brought him up to Peoria to get his feet wet. He struggled in the playoffs, struck out a lot, had a few errors. But again, you're talking about a teenager in, you know, Class A ball. I think that the interesting thing with Gorman this year will be they almost have to return him to Peoria for a while to start. And if Gorman's at Peoria, that means Nunez probably won't be at Peoria, and Montero probably just ahead of him at Palm Beach. So as those guys show they're ready to move up, when Gorman dominates the Midwest League like folks think he will and is ready for the next challenge, that opens the door for Nunez. Ahead of them, Montero then moves up. But as you know, as we talked about, you know, we've seen that it's not just those guys. And Mendoza's still in the game, whether he plays at third or a different position. So the Cardinals have a real wealth at third base right now, which I think is going to prove them well, you know, down the line, because, you know, down the road, you know, Matt Carpenter's getting up in years. He's only got a couple of years potentially left in his contract. We don't know what's going to happen there. We don't know that Paul Goldschmidt's going to stay around. So, you know, third base could be a big need for the Cardinals in not too many years.
Brian, minor league games start pretty soon, don't they?
That's right. This week, a minor league camp is fully open, so the step campers were joined by the regular minor leaguers. They have their first official workout for pitchers and catchers on Wednesday, today. And then their first camp games are Thursday and Friday, and then their first external competition is against the Nationals on Saturday. And the way the minor league schedule, there's basically 2 weeks of games, and typically what happens is the Cardinals play one of, there's five clubs in the area, so there's an uneven number, so about every fourth day the teams play themselves, in which case they have what's called a camp day. So in that case, Memphis plays Springfield, Palm Beach plays Peoria. The other days when they're playing an opponent, two of the teams, the high-level teams play in one location and the two lower-level teams play in the other location. So the bottom line is there are always games on the backfield in Jupiter every day through the that two-week period. Sometimes it's two games. Most of the times it's two games, but sometimes four.
It's fun.
Four teams.
Yeah. If you're coming down and a couple weeks left in spring training, make sure you order the prospect guide at thecardinalnation.com. And what's the best way to get that, Brian?
Well, just come to the website. You'll see the photo of the cover, which has the three third basemen we talked about and the Memphis Redbirds celebrating their championship. That's available both in printed guide form and PDF form. And the hard copy guides are going fast. So if you want the book version, make sure you get your order in and we'll get it shipped to you right away.
And thecardinalnation.com, thecardinalnation.com, best way to do it. And Brian, I will get the chance to see you and bug you and bother you in person next week, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you'll have to chase me down at the Kissel Quad. I'll be on the backfield next week watching the Cardinals minor league games, but I know you definitely get around, so we'll see you then.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brian, as always.